This is Apologetics Live with Matt Slick and Andrew Rappaport, part of the Christian podcast community.
All right, we are live, Apologetics Live. We're glad that you are with us. We are going to hope that this hangout will, well, work. We never know anymore. For folks who don't know, Google is changing things up and doing the hangouts on air is going away as of August 1st. We're going to be trying to find some sort of replacement. And so if any folks out there know of a good replacement, let us know. We're going to be trying out, Matt and I will be trying out a new thing called, I think it's called Google Meet, and we got to see if that'll work. Supposedly we could get more people in here, like up to 25 people at once. That might be neat, but we don't know how well it works, and we're going to have to test it out. So I should do introductions. My name is Andrew Rappaport with Striving for Eternity Ministry, the host of Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report. That's Rap with two P's, a great podcast, I think. Matt Slick from CARM.org, CARM.org, stands for Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. He is the founder of that, and he is the resident apologist that we have here. And so, you know, Matt, we were talking about, I was talking earlier with someone today about Apologetics Live, and they were like, oh, you guys do debates on there? Yeah, we do. So we're going to be trying to set up a debate, and now I forget the Catholic guy's name that everyone's been hounding you to debate. I forgot his name, though. I think you're muted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Francois Blarfinkel.
Yeah. No, there was a, I forget the guy. I'll look in my notes, but I'm going to try to reach out to him now that you've kind of had some settling down with things at the house there.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And don't share more information than you need to, but any update on your wife that we could let folks know who've been praying?
Yeah, she's she actually drove herself and had coffee and walked one block.
That's actually a big deal for folks who don't know.
Yeah. My wife has some severe medical issues and some stuff, and so
other than stupid husbandist or whatever.
Yes, lame-o husbandist, and there's another variation, annoyingest husbandist and the stupidest husbandist. These are all, but a lot of cream, sunblock seems to help for some reason. You got to put it over your eyes and dark glasses. And then they have earmuffs that you have to wear. You get them at the Walmart pharmacy. So really thick head things and glasses, or you can go for the advanced level, just a gigantic helmet with a 3D video tube, and you can tune everything out, and it's really that seems to work better.
So essentially, as long as she could completely block you out both visibly and audibly, it's a good thing.
That's the cure, apparently.
I could agree.
Yeah, she's ordered a deluxe $8,000 headset or something, so I don't know.
Yeah, if, you know.
You could see doing that.
I was just going to say, you know, if I had to live with you, I could see poking my eyes out with a dull pencil.
Well, I could email him the link to this, and she probably ordered one, probably ordered two, you know, one for the car and one for.
All right. So let's talk about a more serious topic and an unfortunate topic to talk about.
Oh, man.
And that would be Beth Moore. So I sent you some stuff that you're going to probably hopefully write an article on. But for folks who don't know, there was an open letter to Beth Moore asking her to be very clear on her position on homosexuality. Yeah. And instead of answering the questions, which were questions like, is homosexuality inherently wrong? It should be a yes or no. And instead of answering it, she went after attacking the women that asked her that. Now, what came out afterwards was the fact that it was discovered that she had removed it. She, in this open letter, there was a reference to a book she wrote where she said homosexuality was wrong. But in the Kindle version, she actually had removed that section. And the reason she gave was because she said she went well beyond what Scripture said. Well, what she had said was that it was a sin along with other sexual sins. She said that along with other sexual sins, it's she didn't exactly call it demonic, but she said it was a tool of Satan or something like that. And then she said that you can actually repent and change from that lifestyle. Now, she's come out with a article that I sent to you. She gave an explanation of why she removed it. And her reasoning was that she went well beyond Scripture, missed it by a mile, something like that. And, you know, both James White and Justin Peters, I saw that at least those two have written articles saying, can you tell us what, where you went beyond Scripture? Because none of us can see where there was a claim beyond Scripture, because Scripture is kind of clear that, you know, sex outside of marriage, marriage being defined as a man and a woman, that it's sinful. And Scripture also says that people who practice in homosexuality can repent and change. So we're not quite sure where feels she went outside of Scripture. But it is, it actually, I think, and I'm curious about what you think, Matt, I think that, this is creates even more of a need for us to get an answer from her on her position on where she feels homosexuality is. Is it intrinsically sinful or not? And from what I understand, she's actually now taking a break from social media after putting this explanation of why she removed the section. So I could be wrong because I don't know her heart, but it seems like she's in damage control. She is trying to explain why she had remove the only thing she said against homosexuality, because it makes it look like she's actually used to think it was wrong and now is supportive. We don't know if she is supportive because she hasn't come out, but it sure looks that way. And it looks like she's in damage control and now going silent. But what would be your concerns, Matt? I know you haven't been able to read up all the articles and things like that yet, but what would be your concerns in a situation with someone who's got a public ministry like this on the position with homosexuality? Do you feel it is a watershed issue for any public Bible teacher today?
Yeah. In fact, I need to write an article that's relating to the issue of homosexuality and apostasy and oppression, because they're all connected. The sexuality, the theology of sexuality is really interesting, and how the enemy of the gospel has used sexuality in order to undermine the truth. And the reason sexuality is so powerful is because of hormones. And it's just that simple. We live in a fallen world, and the fallenness is exacerbated by the visuals that are out there and the pervasive messages of freedom of sexuality and moral truths. And so it's out there. And I like this word perspicuity of Scripture. That's a confusing word for the word clarity, you know.
And you always prefer those big words that could be very easily explained in a simple word.
Yeah.
You even have a word for that, don't you?
I like the big confusing words that you could do just as well and better for a smaller word, you know, the perspicuity of Scripture. What? The clarity. Oh, so anyway, you know, that's because I'm a sesquipedalian. That's someone who likes big words. So I need to write about this. I need to find out. I've been absolutely buried, just buried. There's so much going on right now. I'm preparing 5 lessons for, I got to speak in Washington. I got to preach 2 sermons. I got to do research for the sermons and do other stuff, PowerPoint slides and the whole thing. And so I haven't gotten to this. And well, you and I could talk about some other stuff related to CARM afterwards, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. But this is a lot of research I got to do. In fact, I need some help doing some research, Charlie, on some things. So back in the thing. Is it important? It's extremely important because the secular world, I believe, will use homosexuality as a right to oppress those who don't agree with it. And not only not just they don't agree, but also for those who don't approve of it. And that is going to be a serious issue. And we Christians had better get our act together pretty quickly and start protesting, having straight pride meetings and sort of gay pride and straight pride day and start demanding rights for the straight people and to, you know, and become vocal. We need to do this. And if we don't, it's going to be a problem. Well, it already is. It's going to be even worse.
Yeah. I mean, this whole issue of homosexuality, I'm amazed if you really sit back and think where we've come in the last 10 years. I mean, just the shift in 10 years. I mean, this has been a thing that's been building for a very long time. So it's not like it's something new, but 10 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about some of the things we talk about now with this whole issue. It's really amazing.
Well, there's something that's worth looking at in the book of Romans. I know you're familiar with it, but it's just important because I'm reminded of an instance that happened. A friend of mine back in San Diego, he was newly dedicated to the Lord, and he wanted to come over and ask me some questions about society and scripture. And I said, sure, come on over. And we got talking, and I read him this. Romans 1:24 through 32, and his reaction at the last verse was what was really interesting. Anyway, therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, because this is a reason for the judgment, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Verse 26: for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons a due penalty of their error. So this is homosexuality that's being talked about. I know the leftists like to reinterpret this, but no, it's about homosexuality, lesbianism, and things like that. And verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Now, what's interesting is here that this is the only place in Scripture where I'm aware of. And that's, maybe there's some others. And if people know, let me know. But it's the only place I'm aware of in Scripture where the judgment of God is upon you while you're still alive. And it has to do with the issues of sexuality and idolatry. They're giving them over because notice what it says in verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. So idolatry and sexuality, these are two huge draws. These are only two things I should say that I'm aware of where judgment comes upon them. Now, so I was reading through this and they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are improper, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, or gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And this is the verse. I can still see him when I read this. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. When I read that to my friend, his name was Keith, we still play tennis a lot together, I can still see him reacting to that verse. And the way he reacted was of sheer amazement that it was that true in what he was seeing around his own community and on the news and things like that, how the homosexual community was pushing this and advocating for the rise of homosexuality and other, let's just say, related perversions and issues, you know, sexual freedom, the increase of pornography, transvestitism, all this stuff. And they're getting hearty approval, those who practice them. And he could not believe, he goes, I can't believe it. It's just exactly what it says. It's exactly what it says. I had to wait for him to calm down because he was so surprised that it was that accurate that it was used describing what was happening. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because that really had an impression on me to see his reaction. I knew this theologically because I'd studied this for years and been to seminary and all this stuff. But this guy was new to the faith, newly committed to the faith, and he was looking at it not theologically, but experientially, and it caused him to react this way. And so it affected how I see this verse. And how I see this verse is I see it as people marching under gay flags, under pentagrams, under idols of Mary, under the banner of the watchtower, under varying things, because it's ultimately about idolatry too is in here, and how they're giving hearty approval to the lies of the enemy to do that which is unholy. Now, we know that the preceding verses here talks about wickedness, greed, envy, murder, gossips, haters of God. This is so prevalent in our culture, and this is what happens when you take your eyes off of God in idolatry and put them on yourself and your flesh, your desires in sexuality, you become those things. Not every individual becomes every one of these issues, but the whole conglomerate of those people under that category, that couplet category, those two things, idolatry and homosexuality or sexual sins at issue, they become as a whole those who are arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. It's exactly what we see on TV now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. In fact, I just saw an article today. Jason Alexander, who played George Costanza on Seinfeld, he has agreed to play or be in a series of it's a new series, whatever, where Christianity is mocked. It's faith based. I think it's called the series called Faith Based, and Christianity is mocked in it. And you know, it's just I was reading this before I got out of bed this morning on my phone. I get up, and I had to go through. I scan through. I'm in bed. I just scan through news items for 5-10 minutes to get up. And I remember going, oh, yeah, that's typical, and kept going. And think about that. The frog in the hot water. Mm-hmm. You put him in hot water, and he'll jump out. But if you warm the hot water, he gets accustomed to the filth and the sin around him. And even I went, yeah, that's typical, and kept going. Because even I'm getting so hardened to the consistency of the lies of the enemy that are working through society and in the church and everything else. This whole thing, they are giving hearty approval to those who practice. Now notice it says wickedness, evil, greed, murder, slanderers, malice, deceitful, gossipers. That's what we see on TV. They're haters of God. Christ is the one who represents God. They're haters of Christ. They want him to be what they want him to be, or they say he's homosexual, or they say he's a little baby in a diaper that mom's got to take care of, or he's just never risen, or whatever it is. They're haters of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're inventors of evil. And because of this, this is what we have and what to deal with in society. And we Christians have got to, I'm telling you, we got to stand up. I got to figure something out. You've got to figure something out. And there's some other stuff I know about, which I can't talk about over the air.
Well, you know, here's the thing that, and we're going to get to Matthew, he's first in here. So, but here's the thing that I find interesting, and this is kind of off topic of the homosexuality, but my wife and I listened to a podcast called Dirty John. It was like really, I think, one of the first big viral podcasts, but it's about a guy, John Meehan, who was basically, he basically would date women who had money, you know, so that they could take care of him. He was a drug addict. He had a nursing degree, but always claimed he was a doctor. And he'd make all the claims. Women would fall for him. He was this good looking guy, and he'd give them say everything they want to hear. And then if they left him, he would just ruin their lives and destroy them. And I mean, there were two police officers that had a restraining order on him. I mean, that's the kind of guy this guy was. Now, it was interesting because, you know, I listened to this and another podcast like that is, again, with people that had abducted women and kidnapped them for human trafficking. There's one thing I found interesting, and you brought this up, is the pornography. You know, pornography has become so blatant in our culture now. But here's the thing I find interesting. Everyone says these human traffickers, this is now coming up again because we have this, billionaire who is, you know, I guess providing underage girls for Bill Clinton and all these other people. So the issue is they know that the human trafficking is wrong. They know that all these people who are kidnapping women and, you know, tying them up and keeping them as slaves in their home for years, or some even decades. And yet what we end up seeing is every one of those cases, these guys that are kidnapping these women and using them as slaves always have a background in pornography. Now, it doesn't mean everyone who watches pornography does these things, but I mean, shouldn't society say if like almost 100% of the people who are doing these things to women have a background in pornography, maybe we should get rid of the pornography? I mean, instead...
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, instead they're justifying pornography. I heard about recently, I don't know if I even got a chance to talk to you about this, Vogue magazine. It's a magazine geared toward 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And they're trying to promote prostitution as a way of making money to 13-year-olds. This is how far we've come. It's... You know, 10 years ago, we would have said that's ridiculous. People would never be trying to argue this way. But we are now.
Yeah, we are.
So.
And what are the Christians doing? They're going to Beth Moore seminars. They're going to Joel Osteen Church. Of course, you know, to be perfectly straight, honest here, I have Asperger's and I'm a go-getter, doer kind of a person. I'm the kind of person that wants to stand up and fight. That's why I do what I do. And I know that a lot of people can't handle that. But if we don't stand up and fight, then what's going to happen is we're going to become a persecuted majority, I should say, in America, where the Christians have their hands tied behind their backs and are afraid to do anything. And I am firmly convinced that the pastors need to start preaching and equipping the Christians to be warriors. And the scope of that warriorship will be anything and everything from just wearing a cross around your neck, going out in public, to voting, to standing out in front of places, holding up signs, to demonstrations. What if we were to have 10,000 people all over the country, at every capital, with signs demanding the Christians' rights. And we have a list of things that we want. And it happened a lot. Do you think the politicians would listen? Yes, they would. Because they listen to pressure. They listen to whatever happens. The news would eventually start having to cover it. And I suspect there might be some instances within the news where they accidentally cover it properly with legitimacy and truth.
Accidentally, I love it. They might accidentally. Oh, that's great. All right, so let's bring in Matthew. He's the first one who is in tonight. And folks, if you're watching or and want to join in, go to apologeticslive.org. And I'm going to... Add Matthew in and he can unmute himself. But for folks who want to join, apologeticslive.org, and you can get the links to join there. Matthew, what's your question for us today?
Well, that's a really good question. I just kind of hopped in, just kind of actually listen live as opposed to just on the podcast. But kind of going in line with what Matt was saying, what is the best way for us laymen to discuss and inform our elders with these kind of subjects to encourage them to address them in a true biblical fashion?
Well, how do we do that? You go talk to them. Just go talk to them. We don't know. Let me put it this way. A lot of times what happens is that a pastor will hear different things from different congregation members, and he'll realize the Holy Spirit's working through the congregation. I got to address this. If people are sitting there, I don't know what to say, I can't go talk to the pastor, that's a ridiculous thing. They should go up talk to the pastor and say, can you please talk about what we need to do in society? Can you preach about what we need to do to change society? What does the Bible say about it? If he starts hearing this over and over, he's going to start preaching on it. That's what needs to be done. But what we really need is a national organization. We need a national organization that will start applying pressure. We have to do this as Christians. We have to.
Well, I think, Matt, I understand your point of the national, but I think what Matthew's getting to is, what do we do within the local church first?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And I think it is the church's responsibility. I think that I think, Matt kind of said it, Matthew, is the churches for the American church is going listening to Joel Steen, Beth Moore, these others, Joyce Meyer, that aren't feeding them Bible. And so the church has been so watered down that this is what they expect. They expect mediocrity. Now, I'll tell you this. Matt's right. You go and you sit and you talk to your pastor. The reality is there's a lot of people that don't say to people what needs to be said. If they're a pastor or someone who's well-known, people just want to say good things. I just actually got an opportunity today with someone who had a chance to talk to a very well-known person who is a woman who is preaching to men. And she, just wanted to reach out and see where they stood on this, on some positions, but got an opportunity to speak directly to that person. And she was like, what do I say? I'm like, that's a great opportunity, because no one ever speaks to her and tells her what she needs to hear, probably. And that's exactly how she spoke to her. She's like, look, I don't know if you have people that tell you that you're in sin, but you're in sin, and so your pastor may be like, well, everyone else is kind of, hedging on this, and maybe I should be willing to do that too. Maybe I should kind of not be so strong on it. Well, that's the thing that he needs to hear, someone that says, look, I know not everyone's going to say this to you, but you need to take a stronger position. I think that's what people were trying to do with Beth Moore, is say, look, you got this platform, but you're kind of walking away from the biggest issue that we're being forced to have to answer today, and you're not answering it, and you're partnering and fellowshipping with people that take a very anti-biblical view. I think that if you have the access, and you should hopefully with your pastor, you meet with them and you talk with them and you say, listen, this is what we see. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, that's not going to happen. We're too civilized of a country. Go.
No one likes a slippery slope argument.
Well, I'm not even going to give you a slippery slope argument. I'm going to tell you, go research what happened in the Holocaust in Germany. Why? Because the Germans said this couldn't be happening. They're too civilized of a people. They refused to believe what was happening right under their nose. And it didn't, part of it happened slowly in building up, but then when they had everything in place, it happened very quickly. We're talking about the fact that for 30 years, we've seen the people trying to change the views with homosexuality, and now it is such a political powerhouse that you can't speak against it.
I can, and I do.
Well, you can and you do, but the point being is, when you do, you're going to be attacked. But this is the same thing that ended up happening is with the Jews. They sat, if we just keep our heads in the sand, if we just play nice, it'll go away. And it didn't. It got worse and worse and worse. And the government played nice with the more moderates, but they came after them anyway when there was no one else left.
Well, when the intelligentsia, they get in charge, they're gonna wipe out those who are perceived as a threat. They have that power. They have the ability. They're gonna go after everybody in order to ensure their own safety, to ensure their own position. This is what's gonna happen. The Christians represent those who are in opposition. We gotta fight back.
Yeah, a lot of the things I've been following from you guys and other publications that's even happening in the church fairly heavily as well. Now, with the, not to trigger Matt again, but the intersectionality and the critical theory stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always good to trigger Matt, but
What was that? Critical theory?
Critical race theory.
Critical theory.
Well, yeah, critical theory now, because it's more than just critical race. But yeah, we're going to get Matt.
What that is?
We're going to get Matt researching on intersectionality, and he's going to go crazy.
Turn the light on here. But yeah, it's I've heard. I'm just so buried with stuff. I can't even do any research right now. I haven't been able to for weeks. So too much is going on, but yeah.
Well, and here's the thing with it. It is influencing the church, and the church is where we must make the stand, to stand up and say, look, Matt's saying we have to fight back. And let me be clear. We fight back as Christians with the gospel. Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're not Muslims. We're not fighting back, blowing them up, throwing them off buildings. We're going to fight back with a message that God died that you could have eternal life. I mean, it's a very different way we go about it, because they don't have their real issue is a spiritual problem. They need the gospel.
Yeah, this is true. I'm in a conversation with a couple elders with an unrelated to this topic, and that was kind of my whole thing. That's what's needed, not necessarily more self-help. Let's make everybody feel good about themselves, but what they need is Christ crucified for their sins, and that needs where it needs to start.
Well, it needs to start internally. The first place of repentance is in the one who's praying. The one who's praying has to repent of their own sins, ask God to reveal to them their own sins, and get cleansed. That's what we've got to do. And then what we do after that is repentance in our family, repentance in our city, repentance in our state, repentance in our nation. We pray for these things. And, so prayer is the number one thing. We've got to pray that we have the opportunity to preach that gospel. And then what we need to do, be other-minded, is to focus on the actual situation around us in voting. And I believe in protesting. It's all within the legal rights. We have the protest. We can do that, of being vocal. And we're not being vocal. And because we're not being vocal, then we're being cast out. If we're cast out, what's going to happen is the same thing that history shows us. As the Jews in Nazi Germany were not vocal and did not unite and did not protest, then they were slaughtered. Now, what the risk is that because there's so much power from the left right now, that anybody who does rises up to be vocal will probably end up either being assassinated or sued or face some sort of severe attack in order to stop them. That's often what happens. We got to realize that this is a serious issue. And we Christians have been sitting down too long. And I am not advocating violence. No, not I'm not. We have the right of self-defense, but we don't have the right to go out and start any problems. But we do have the right to protest. And that's what I've thought, is if what we can do is unite and have thousands of Christians all over the country, thousands and thousands, with signs protesting. And I don't know what they protest, what you put on a sign. I mean, stop persecuting Christians, or Christians are people too, or something, some quick and slick slogan that carries a message with a website, that we can go down and get a message. This is what needs to happen.
Well, you think about with the abortion mill, the movie 180 came out that Ray Comfort put together. There was a group, people would just stand outside of abortion clinics with signs that say babies are murdered here. And I mean, that's really clear what's happening. And you end up seeing there is a change going on in the culture where, I mean, you have all these states now that are willing to say, hey, if the Supreme Court overrules Roe versus Wade, we're making it illegal to have abortions. And you wouldn't have heard that 10 years ago. Why was that different? I would say the reason there is a move right now to ban abortion, which we should, is because there's a ton of Christians all across the land standing outside of abortion clinics with signs that are saying things like babies are murdered here. Okay, making it clear that they're preaching the gospel at those places. And I think that's a big thing that we end up seeing, and that's what we don't see going on in the church overall. And that's been the problem, I would say.
It's fine. If I may, with one last thing, with the protest things that Matt is suggesting, which I agree with, how would you garner arguments regarding the new Equality Act that's being pushed through?
Okay, give me more on because I don't know enough about it.
Basically, what it is, it adds to the discrimination portion of the current civil rights code, sexual identity, orientation. I think there's one more, but those are the main two.
That has to be overturned. Because if that becomes law, sexual identity and orientation, then anybody like myself who says homosexuality is a sin can be put in jail for it. I do expect to be arrested sometime and spend time in jail for my view. And I've already, you know, I talked to my wife. I said, don't be surprised if there's a knock on the door. You match slick, yes. You're under arrest for what? For violating the New Equality Act section, blah, 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 saying homosexuality is a sin. Yeah. And I'll just hold my hands out, handcuff me, go to jail and start a Bible study there.
Yeah, I was just curious because trying to discuss that with some people is really difficult. Get folks to recognize what homosexual orientation, what it really is boils down to at a secular level. Really, is some sort of, lack of a better way of putting it, mental illness. And then, of course, the biblically sin on top of it.
Well, right. And one of the things to think about with it is also, you know, as Matt was saying there, we have to look at this whole issue in light of Scripture first off. And notice what Matt said. If they come and to arrest him, what's he going to do? Put his hands out. You don't see Paul or in Peter and other apostles fighting the imprisonment when they were imprisoned. It's like, okay, that's, you know, they're not going to, you know, here's Peter. He's not going to obey men over God. But when they say you must stop doing what God says they must do, they're going to say no. And if it means I go to jail, I go to jail. So, you know, that's the thing I think a lot of people, they're just not ready for, because they have, this is what's at stake. They have the idea of a comfortable Christianity, a Christianity where I'm going to be able to be comfortable. I'm going to live a nice life. I'm going to have the American dream. Everything's going to be good. Your best life now. The problem is that's not biblical. And that's the problem, is Christianity's going up against a false Christianity that's very prevalent.
That's right. Been lulled. Christians been lulled into complacency.
Mm-hmm. All right,
well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, well,
thanks for letting me in.
Thanks Matthew. Sure. And the next one who was
I want you to just do a favor for me really fast before you get the next caller.
Okay.
Andrew, I want you to frown.
Why would you want me to frown?
I'll tell you after you frown. Frown hard.
I am there. I don't trust you enough.
No, not, I'm just going to tell you. Okay, come on, just frown. Come on, you can do it. You were doing it earlier. You're embarrassed.
I naturally look like I'm frowning. So
No.
Ready? Okay, I'm going to frown. Here we go.
Okay, ready? Go ahead.
I'm frowning right now.
No, you're not.
I'm just hiding it behind the microphone.
Yeah, that's right. No, because you frowned, and the way your skin creased your forehead looked like one of the Hebrew letters. There it is. It's either a he or a het.
Oh, man.
Or it could be a tav. I'm just going to see.
Okay, I'm bringing Cody in here. Now, Cody, as I pull up... That's too funny. All right.
Awesome.
So, Cody, if you want to unmute yourself. Cody wasn't in here a couple of weeks ago, but he did have a question. Cody was the one that asked the question that we played the clip from Stand to Reason with Greg Kokel. And so, Cody, I've brought up your mic.
Yeah.
How are you?
What's up, guys? All right, man. Dude, you're so Jewish that your forehead crinkles are in Hebrew.
Yes, see? Did you know, guys, notice that? I was trying to figure out what letter it was. I got it narrowed down to three of them.
Matt's looking up his Hebrew letters right now.
Oh, no, I got it online. I'm looking it up, doing something else here.
Listen.
But no, I'm serious.
Don't you know the Hebrew Israelites already said that I'm not possibly... There's no, like, what one guy actually on our YouTube channel today, I saw, he said that it's not possible for me to be an Israelite, even if I could trace my line all the way back to Abraham, because there was a prophecy that the Israelites would lose their culture. Like, what verse is that?
And well, now all you got to do is frown.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. No, I appreciate you guys going over that. I couldn't get in the other week, but
sure.
But I listened to it, and it was good. I liked your response. It wasn't the response I was expecting from Matt, but it was good. I liked it. So no, I didn't have a question or anything, but I'll tell you that Romans 1 thing. That's what you were talking about before, outlining those things. I'm going through that with a family member, and I'm seeing it front row. It's just amazing. It's terrible. But every single part of it, ultimate rebellion all the way down to the created order, dude. And yep. It's tough. But
yeah, we're going to be persecuted.
Yeah, bring it on, dude. The church has always thrived in persecution.
I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to. One of the reasons is, well, I don't like persecution. But the other one is my wife needs me. I need to be here for her. And she desperately needs me. If I'm persecuted, we're just going to have to trust. If I'm jailed, I have to just trust that the Lord will provide for her. And that's it. That's all we can do. Yeah, well.
Tell him it was me. Oh, yeah, I'm not.
I think that what would happen, let's just say hypothetically, let's just say I believe this would happen. Let's just say I got arrested for, condemning homosexuality. And I got a 4-year jail sentence. Let's just say. And I said, I put the word out through, say, Andrew, take care of my wife. I believe people would come out and help and make sure she was taken care of.
Absolutely. You know? I believe that, too.
And we would be willing to do that for Neek. Not
for Neek.
Not for Matt.
Oh, man. But not for me.
Yeah. I think if Neek was to come to me and say, hey, would you take care of Matt if I'm gone?
Yeah, you would. Yeah, we'd just have a needle and a sodium pentothal.
Yeah, well, there you go. Uh-huh. All right. Let's see. What we'll do, who is in here next? And Matt, read the there's some comments in the chat. We got someone who is coming up soon. And probably get some good questions, but we have someone we haven't had in here in a while. Some Calvinist dude goes by the name of Calvinist Klein.
Hey.
So let's bring him. His mic is up. So Josh, you can unmute yourself if you want.
Hey guys, how's it going?
This is a voice we haven't heard from a long time, Matt.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, Josh, how's marriage?
Wait. Before he answers, Matt, let's play the clip. We have it queued up already. This is just after he got married when we asked him the same thing, and this is what he said. Let's see now if things have changed. But this is what he said back then.
Yeah, it's been challenging, but it's good. I feel like it's already been forever. It's only been 16 days, so.
Wow.
That clip never gets old, Josh. Yeah. So it's been more than 16 days. So how's marriage been doing?
Yeah, that's rough.
I always say that did not mean what it sounded like. But no, it's been excellent. It's been very good. Okay. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, she's a good woman, except for her taste in men.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
But that's okay. Yes, so what do you got, buddy? What's up, man?
I don't know. I just wanted to hang out with you guys, and I guess I don't know. Throw something out there. See what you guys thought about it.
Okay.
Like recent. One of the things is like the recent. I don't know if you guys heard about K. Scott Oliphant's charges. Like he had some charges in the OPC about his doctrine. It was like his doctrine of covenantal attributes of God. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
They got dropped later. But he basically advocated that God, in his dealings with men, he takes on new attributes, they're called covenantal attributes, so that he can relate to man. They're not part of the divine essence, but they're still in God.
His mistake is using the word attributes because it relates to ontological essence. He should be saying God just condescends to communicate to people on their level at different times. Then that wouldn't have been would not have been a problem. To say he has new attributes is just not a good way to say it. It's not.
No, I agree. I agree. And unfortunately, I wish it would have gotten taken further and that they would have discussed it more, but they kind of just dropped it. I think the way that the charges were brought up, I think by Minister Jeff Waddington in the OPC, I think they said he brought them up improperly, and so they kind of just let him go. But
is the OPC, you said?
Yes.
Okay. OPC is pretty uptight, but you know, I can see that would be an issue. He should just not have said that.
Yeah, I'm surprised how long it took for that to come up, because that was in his book, I think, from 2006 or something.
Really?
And all of a sudden earlier this year the charges come up. Why the long wait, you know? But why would somebody wait so long to publish something like, or to bring something up like that?
A lot of times they don't know. And a lot of times they'll talk to somebody, ask certain specifics, then find out that, yes, it is something we need to address, and they do it later. Sometimes they just have other things that they're doing. It's not enough time on the docket. So, you know, I've been involved with some Presbyterian meetings back in Southern California, and they had to go through procedures and stuff like that. So it was necessary.
One more reason to be Baptist.
Yeah, because the Baptists wouldn't care then.
No, they wouldn't have to wait for all this, you know, ritual thing. Although now in the church you're in, hey, you don't even have membership, so it's all right. Yeah.
There you go. Remember, who needs to think of membership?
Matt, what I was going to ask too, what church have you joined now that you moved? And
oh, I haven't moved yet.
Oh, you haven't? Oh,
no.
I thought he was talking about me at that point. So
I know Andrew switched.
Yes, I've switched. I've moved to a church out in Pennsylvania that's a church plant.
Really?
Yep. I told you about it, but you forget everything. It's called Master's Church. It's a Grace Advance church. Grace Advance is it's a church planting arm of Master's Seminary, which is where John MacArthur is the president. And so yeah, it's really exciting. So we're going to be helping out with a church plant.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Actually.
And that's why we're looking to move to Pennsylvania. It's not just that in Pennsylvania I can carry concealed, but that is a plus. You'll love this one. Hey Matt, you know what? A law that just got passed in Jersey?
What?
That children can be asked in school if their parents own firearms and if they think that could be dangerous. And if so, then the police can come in without any advance notice, come into your home and take all your firearms. Uh-huh. New Jersey law. Gotta love it.
New Jersey needs to...
No, I just need to leave. I need to leave the state.
You need to get out.
Yeah.
Well, I know that people are fleeing New Jersey for a lot of reasons. They're oppressive.
Like taxes?
New Jersey and California should be just floated and shipped out to the middle of the Atlantic, joined, and they could become their own island.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, anything else, Mr. Smith?
That is ridiculous. Brown shirts, turning the children into brown shirts.
Yeah, basically.
Maybe they don't know what brown shirts are.
Probably don't teach that anymore.
In Nazi Germany, the Nazi party got children to go around and turn people in.
Turn their own parents in.
Crimes. Parents and others. And their uniform was a brown shirt. Yep. Called brown shirts. And what did Stalin, I think it was Stalin, who said they're useful idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he talking about? He's talking about people who would protest against the status quo and want a change. And they were exactly what the government people wanted in order to overthrow the system so they could get a dictatorial system in, which is what's happening in our country.
Exactly what I was going to say. It's useful idiots today, unfortunately, would be some of the churches we've been talking about earlier who are making it easier for the government to outlaw Christianity, and they're just playing right into the hands.
Absolutely. And we have some senators and congressmen who are useful idiots.
Mm-hmm. So, Josh, any questions you have for us tonight? Or just you want to update us on your marriage? And
yeah, well, I primarily wanted to just kind of stick my head in, and I didn't have anything prepared. The Case Got Oliphant thing was on the fly. I just wanted to.
Okay, well, technically, you didn't stick your head in. You have a picture of John Calvin with tattoos, not your head. Okay, just for the record. All right,
that's true.
So if you don't have anything else, I'm going to bring in Matt. We'll take a time for a little bit of a break here. I'm bringing James Watkins in here from Five Solas Ministries.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of going to a commercial break, we're going to make him do our commercial. And so, James, if you want to unmute yourself and give us, you're going to take over the commercial break. I think it'd be very fitting. And you could explain what's been going on with Five Solas Ministries, the sale, and what that's going to support. Anytime, James.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Yep. Okay. Well, so for the month of July, Five Souls Ministries, we're donating 15% of all of our sales to CARM to try to give those guys as much financial support as possible. But right now, which is the 11th until the 14th, we have upped that percentage to donate 25% of all of the sales to CARM. It's not 25% of profits. It's 25% of your entire order total. So we just want to get as much support for CARM as possible. This is going to be going on for the entire month, but specifically now until Sunday, the 14th, is going to be whenever you can really make an impact for that ministry. So, of course, we have been encouraging everyone. You can donate directly to CARM at CARM.org, or you can come to us at FiveSolasMinistries.com. We just revamped the website a couple of hours ago. Prices are lower. And we have a few extra products and a little bit more variety. And we're going to have hats coming soon, tumblers. So we are excited to be able to partner up with CARM. Been very impactful in my life and my ministry. And we just want to help God. These guys out as much as possible.
So why, first off, because you just assume everyone knows, and they should know what Five Solas Ministry is. But so why don't you explain what Five Solas Ministry is, your podcast, what it is that you're selling for folks that they could get? That you mentioned tumblers, but talk about the rest of the stuff that you guys have there. And then, you know, how much of that, again, is going to CARM?
Yeah, so Five Solas Ministry is it's always been kind of my goal to branch off and have my own ministry. And reason being is because I was under the prosperity gospel for quite a while once I was saved. And other ministries I've seen have an impact in people's lives, like CARM, Striving for Eternity, Justin Peters Ministries. I wanted to create a ministry where I was providing people with theologically rich content at a level that they could understand. So I wanted to break everything down to a level. So it's really catered to new believers, but I also think that there's a lot of edification for more mature believers. We have many guests that come on the podcast, Five Souls Podcast, and I just did an episode on suicide and depression in the church because that's the way that the Lord drew me to himself was through a near suicide attempt. So I'm very passionate on that topic. And really my ideology behind it is I want to be as transparent and open as possible in my ministry with the struggles that I face on a day-to-day basis. I still deal with depression. It's hitting me kind of hard right now. But by God's grace, I get through it and really see the light of Christ. And that's what I want to share with other believers. But right now on Five Souls Ministries, and really the products that we offer are just a way to help, provide the website, provide the web hosting costs. That's the way that we pay for everything is through the shirts that we create. Which we have a Five Solas shirt series right now. Matt has one coming to him. I'm excited for him to get that as well as some of the gospel tracts that we have.
Oh, yeah, because it's large.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Well, Matt probably needs an extra, extra large, but I'm glad you're sending him gospel tracts.
Just to get
over my head. Send him lots of gospel tracts. Maybe he'll read them and get saved.
Yeah, we did send him some gospel tracts. Good. Actually, we've had such an outpouring. We haven't had as much for the start of the month. I think it was due to the holiday. But we have had a lot of orders for the gospel tracts, so much that we've sold out of two of them and are waiting for ships to come back in. But you know, we do a lot of custom stuff too. We've had gospel tracts go into Scotland, into Poland, across and just about every single state so far. So we're excited for God allowing us to grow, and I am very grateful for God allowing me to help get the gospel throughout the world, which I think is the biblical commandment for every Christian.
Hey, that's a new concept. Where'd you get that out of?
Sounds very familiar, like Matthew 28:19, right?
Oh, that's where that is. It's not talked about enough.
I think every believer has their own set of gifts, and you know, it's really trying to identify what those gifts are. And I just happen to love writing the gospel out in a simplistic way that people can understand. And Andrew has some of the gospel tracts, and I know his eyes are failing him, so I wanted to create it where people could easily read them.
Well, you're saying I have some, and I got to correct you on that. So you sent me a whole bunch to take to California with me when we were going out there to do some evangelism. And you're right that I have a few, because literally that's all I have left, these three. Now, I don't know how many you sent me, but that's all I got left is these three. So here's some of them. And Matt, yeah, you could probably read them from here if you... You know,
the glory. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's trying to say he wrote it from my eyes, but we all know who's older, and it's
I'm definitely older. That's for sure.
Definitely, and uglier.
I'm definitely older
and uglier.
How old are you?
Hold on. You want me to ask your wife?
My wife's gonna. She'll have my back. So, how old are you? I forgot. You're like 50.
I'm 51.
No, 51.
Yeah, okay. I think. What are you, like 12 years on me or?
11. I have 11 years.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. And you got way more than 11 years on the ugly factor. So I'm just saying, don't blame the messenger.
Sounds good. All right.
So James, you're going to be donating this to CARM for the rest of the month. So folks, check out that. Five Solas Ministries. Actually, let me check. Is it Five Sola or Solas?
Yes. Five Solas Ministries.
Five Solas Ministries.com. Not .org, which was what I kept trying to look for.
Yeah, and we're doing the 25% donation now until the 14th. And then after that, it'll be the 15% for the remainder of the month. So good. I really want to bless those guys this weekend. So I'm going to really push as hard as I can to get it done for them.
All right.
You call up on the radio show and give a plug for it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
So I'll learn tomorrow.
Yeah,
because you, like Matt, have a perfect face for radio. So I just couldn't help it. You know,
you can't help yourself in a lot of areas.
All right. Well, and we may. So I'm going to be bringing there's someone, Matt, if you've been seeing in the chat, someone who's been getting a little bit impatient here and able to speak. Okay. We'll see how this conversation goes. And let me see what the name is. Edits. So, Edits, you can unmute yourself and ask your question. You know, some of the stuff he was saying while we're waiting for him to unmute themselves. Wanted to argue against a simulation viewpoint. So, I don't know why.
What is it?
Now the saying, mic not working. Had all this time. Here's your chance. So I don't know. Let's see if he says so up. Let me try to reread what he was saying and maybe you can answer. He says, how can we argue against a simulation viewpoint? When I try to reply to the question via observation and science, they ask, how do you know your observation are not part of the simulation? So I guess the simulation viewpoint would be,
Solipsism.
Well, yeah, like the Matrix movie, which I actually had to go watch to understand why everyone kept referring to it, where we just live in a matrix. We live in some you know, simulation. Yeah. So how would you argue against that, Matt?
I already have written articles on this, an article on solipsism. You know, that it's a variation of the same thing. But the laws of logic are one thing. And what are some of the arguments? It's been a long time. The laws of logic cannot be produced in your own mind in an absolute sense, and you violate them, and yet they're also the same laws. And I went through that issue. And then there were some other things about self-refutation, self-contradiction. Let's see, solipsism.
You really should just notice that Charlie already posted that article. You should just know that Charlie is always going to beat us to posting links to Carm. I think he knows Carm better than you, Matt.
I think so. He's getting there. Yeah.
He finds articles on Carm faster than you do.
Well, here I got a lot of little points. There's a lot here. An inconsistency in solipsism, and maybe in a similar view, depending on what he means. If this person tries to convince someone else that his view is correct, then isn't he arguing against his own mind, since he's arguing with someone who doesn't affirm that the solipsist mind is all there is? So if they're in a simulation, he's trying to convince someone they're in a simulation, is he arguing against that? Simulation view, that wouldn't apply to that. It'd only apply to solipsists. I'd have to go through it again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, Charlie also dropped an article here an article that I guess he had on simulation theory, natural truth. So are we living in a simulation and the nature of truth? So you have an article there. It looks like you going through a discussion with someone called Brother.
Oh, I didn't even know I did that.
Yeah, so that's what I say. Charlie knows the website better than you, and you wrote the article.
He uses a search engine.
Well, maybe you should do that once in a while.
I was. I didn't know about the simulation issue. All right. I write that thing, too. That's a long time ago.
All right. So let us move on. The next person here would be Mark. So let me add him in here and bring him his volume up. Mark, you are on with Matt and Andrew on Apologetics Live. What questions do you have for us?
Andrew, I'm learning so much about this socialism and the link between their view and Christianity, because I started listening to J.D. Hall, and he's really into this social Marxist idea and what it's actually doing. So I would, I know, Matt, you said you are going to do some homework on this, but I was just curious to know both of you, like, in terms of scripture, how far apart is this ideology and where scripture, what's the distance? Is in some way, is it close to what the Bible
you're
teaches?
Breaking up, or so I'm not following you.
So Mark, you're with your connection, you keep freezing up. So maybe turn your video off. And that way, there'll be a little bit less
bandwidth
problems, and then maybe we can get the questions. Try it again.
I really don't know how to.
Okay, you're on your phone, I think, right? Yeah. On a phone. So just tap the phone. You should see a camera button that'll just turn off the camera. You can try that. I'll
try and do that. Sorry, guys.
No. Well, you're coming in good now, so try it again. Let's see if...
Okay, I'll just turn the video off. Maybe that'll be better now.
It is.
So ask your question again, Mark.
I was just curious to know, in terms of scripture, how far apart is the social ideology from what scripture says?
It does not teach socialism. It teaches private enterprise. It teaches private property, self-protection rights, right of self-defense. A lot of people don't know this, but the Puritans, when they came over to America, they were hardcore Calvinists. And John Calvin had written about economics as derived out of scripture in his Institutes of the Christian Religion. And so a lot of the Puritans, when they came over, what they did... That's weird. What they did was they implemented biblical principles into their culture. And so we have the right of if you go back to the Old Testament, you see property lines. You can't move property lines. There's definite demarcations of ownership, of problems with theft. You have the right to do with your land as property as you see fit, and that principle is talked about in Acts 5 when Ananias and Sapphira were killed because they lied to the Holy Spirit. But what they had done is sold land, and then they held back some of it, and they lied about that. And Peter says, didn't you know this is yours to do with as you wish? And so that's a comment. You know, you have the right to do with what's going on. In socialism, you don't. Socialism says the government's going to tell you what to do with your property. The government's going to tell you how much to give. The government's going to do this. And it has a lot of collateral problems. It demotivates people. It devalues the dollar. It devalues the economic strength, and there's just trickle-down effects of so many areas that cause problems. And every place where socialism has worked, it's been bad. I mean, worked, not worked, but implemented. It's been bad. And these morons like AOC who want to have socialism implemented in America are violating the promise or their oaths to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and they're undermining our country. She is, in my opinion, a useful idiot.
One of the commentators calls her Alexandria Occasional Cortex.
That's not bad. Occasional Cortex. Yeah, she is a real problem, but she's serving a good purpose. She's fragmenting the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party is fits chasing each other's tails.
Well, yeah, because they're like trying to just play party when you have some people like her who really their goal is socialism. It was funny. Yeah. I read an article. Why do Republicans keep bringing up the fact that she was a bartender? Because that was her only job. Maybe like that doesn't really qualify her for the office she now has. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like everyone forgets that Barack Obama's job was a mob organizer. And what did he do for 8 years? Organize mobs.
Yeah.
Gee, shocker. So I guess AOC is going to try to get everyone drunk.
Yeah, true. I am starting to, the more I learn, the more I start to see how much, even here in Australia, how much this social justice, social idea is creeping into the churches here. Especially, some of the more extreme denominational groups.
If you're walking around with your phone, don't. You're in a good place. I don't know if you're walking. Put it down. Sit down. No.
Yeah, because you're breaking up there a bit.
I'm seeing it. Again.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody's typing, so I don't know what it is. No. But I just see the infiltration of this idea in churches, and they seem to be quite comfortable with it
because people listen to the media. That's it.
Yeah,
preacher. Now think about it. Let's say I came out to your church to preach, which I would love to do, even though you guys drive on the wrong side of the road. But that's okay. I come down to your church to preach, right? And let's say I preached for a full 45 minutes. That's extra long. What happened?
Yeah.
The rest of the week, 45 minutes out of that whole week. Well, that's hardly nothing. It's hardly anything at all. There needs to be more. And it's difficult when people go watch TV constantly and are inculcated with liberal thought, lack of critical thought. The church can do a great deal, but the pastors have to be trained and willing to do the homework. But too many of them, what they're doing is simply babysitting congregations, giving them milk. So we have a real problem on our mind, on our hands. The social gospel is not a true gospel. We're not here to... we're here to change society, but we're here to change society by the promotion of the gospel and bringing people into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's how society gets changed. And what we're supposed to be doing is not passing laws necessarily to protect a particular minority about something, even though that may be necessary sometimes, because we've got to fight for righteousness as well. But the primary goal of the Christian is not social change, but spiritual change, soul change, heart change. That's what's supposed to happen. Not social change. The priority is heart change. Social change follows. And this is the problem that we've got in the church. They don't believe in the, it's one thing. They don't believe in the power of the Word of God. They don't believe in God's truth and His Word. That's it.
Yeah. I've been listening to the likes of you, Andrew, Matt, and I've been listening to J.D. Hall and a few others, Chris Roseborough and so forth. And I'm finding that there's this correlation between the USA and Australia. There's this very strong link in influence.
Absolutely.
It is so strong, it is unbelievable.
Oh yeah, America is not a good influence to the rest of the world.
We used to be.
I'm listening to you, Matt, and now I know more so what I have to do. Yeah, we have to fight. I have to. I'm trying at a level to try and make people aware that this what I know about it now, this link with socialism and scriptural that these people think is so important. I don't know. I guess we just have to keep on fighting, like you said, Matt and Andrew. So
we fight with the gospel. I mean, look, if more Christians were out doing what we should be doing, sharing the gospel with people, and God saw fit to bring people to repentance, then what you'd see is politicians, and Matt said this earlier in the show tonight, the politicians will pretend to be Christian if they have to, because they are going to follow whatever's going to get them voted in, right? And so that's what politicians are going to do. So if they feel a majority of people are Christian, they're going to pretend to be. I mean, Barack Obama pretended to be a Christian. Why? He needed to get elected. You go back in our founders. I mean, even Benjamin Franklin, who would probably be the only person we know from the founders that really was not a believer in God. It's questionable whether they try to say Thomas Jefferson wasn't, but that's questionable. But, even Jefferson, he would say that religion is a God is necessary for the running of the country. You need God to have any understanding of morals. And so what you end up seeing is that even Benjamin Franklin supported that argument, and he wasn't a believer. So what you end up seeing is that the politicians will follow suit. They will if there was enough of us out there and actually doing the work of evangelism.
I mean, we have got a Christian prime minister now. He says he is, and he's certainly portrayed, so it'll be interesting to see what the next years will actually look like in terms of Christian ideas or rather Christian freedoms, because we've got a situation going on here whereby one of the famous rugby players has been absolutely hammered because of freedom of speech. He's a Christian. So it's in courts now and so forth. But it looks like he's going to win, which means that we will maintain a level of freedom of speech because it's a long and complicated thing. But we're heading down the same way whereby any time you rear your head and you say anything, it's hate speech or it's this or it is that. You know, and yet we find that this social mindset, this social view, this it's a communistic view. They can say and do whatever they want.
Well, let me explain some of what, because this is actually something that most Americans don't even realize had happened. In the 8 years that Barack Obama was president, Barack Obama said he wanted to fundamentally change America, and he did, in a way that most Americans don't even recognize today. Here's what Barack Obama did. He worked with the Fortune 500 companies that have a worldwide influence, and he worked with them, and in some cases, the government subsidized them to push a political agenda. And in pushing the political agenda that he wanted, it became a thing where anyone that works in those companies, they feel like they can't speak out against, you know, the liberal agenda, because they could get fired for doing so. And now you end up having these companies. I mean, think about it. Is it in the best interest of a company to be pushing homosexuality? No, because there's a bunch of people that think it's wrong, and they're going to lose them as customers. That's the problem. And so what you have is you have the government basically saying, here, go push the agenda we want, a liberal agenda, socialist agenda, push this, and we'll fund you if you lose money. And therefore, it's like, hey, if I'm guaranteed money, then I'm going to do it, because it's now good business. So what ends up happening, you see them pushing this, and now or literally around the world because of this, you have all these companies that feel they have to be on the right side of history, which is defined by the liberals. You want to be on the right side of history? Stop killing millions of babies. That's the right side of history. Okay?
Yeah.
But what you see is that businesses are pushing the agenda. And for people who work in a secular job, they recognize that at work. You know, I have plenty of friends who tell me, like, when they're at work and they sit there, and someone will be like, if they're going to say anything positive about Trump, it's like they first have to say, well, I don't approve of everything he does. Do they ever do that with Barack Obama? No. It's like a hushed tone that you have to use if you say anything conservative nowadays. And
I don't understand, Andrew. I don't understand. When I grew up in Africa under the apartheid government, okay, but and we would, I remember we, my parents and other family members, they would chase work around the country just to provide. Okay, in the USA, a lot of these groups, the minority groups, are better off now in terms of employment and everything else than ever before, and they are so ungrateful. I just come back from Africa. They would give their left and right arm to get a job that pays them a dollar more than the minimum wage.
Well,
you know, I don't understand. I am absolutely gobsmacked in that when you look at America's numbers, GDP, unemployment rates, and everything else, and It is so deceiving, Matt. Do you know what I'm saying? The devil has deceived and put this blanket over them.
Yep.
It is. I don't understand it. I know in Africa they would do anything to get a job that would earn them a dollar more than the minimum wage, because they could do a whole lot more.
Right. Well, America's heading that way. Watch, America's heading that way. There's some problems coming. There's some big problems coming.
Yeah, and it's you know, look, social justice, the arguments for the social justice warriors, it is a way of, it's a way to sneak in communism or socialism. And it is that's the goal, to close an open system. And unfortunately, it is an issue that we see in the church. I mean, the church is falling prey to it. The church is, that's why we put the statement out, the statement on social justice and the gospel. The reason, you know, many of us felt it was important enough to, you know, write a letter to John MacArthur to see if he would get behind it, because we wanted someone that would have some weight. And when he did, a bunch of the guys got together. They needed a smaller group that got together and hammered out the statement, and the rest of us got to read it and approve it, and it went out there. And the reason we felt it was so important is because the gospel message is being affected by the social justice warriors. They're making the issue not about people needing to get right with God, needing to come to repentance. They're making it about making up for what has happened in the past. You know, things that, you know, for me, I had nothing to do with. I had nothing to do with slavery. I didn't own a slave. No one in my family generations owned a slave. We, in fact, just a couple generations ago, members of my family may have been slaves in Germany. You know?
Yeah. My ancestors came over from Germany in the late 1800s.
What was the name? Because obviously Slick was not the right. The name got changed when they came over. What was it?
Yeah, our surname in our family history is Schlichtin. S-C-H-L-I-C-H-T-I-N-G, Schlichtin. And you say it like in a German way, Schlichtin. So it just became Slick. This became Slick. And then my dad's mother, just on a birth certificate, the doctor said, "What's your last name?" And she said, "Slick." And that's how we got the last name Slick.
So there literally aren't that many Slicks in the world. And you had all daughters. So I guess the surname dies out with you and your brothers.
No, we've got there's others, but there's others. There's other Slicks and stuff. But believe it or not, there's other Matt Slicks in the country too.
That's scary.
Pretty slick, Matt.
Pretty slick. That's right.
Quick and slick.
Hey, Andrew, can I chime in on what he was saying before, not to distract from the topic of social justice?
I'm going
to
use the restroom. I'm going to put myself on mute. I'll be listening.
Yeah, and Mark, if you don't mind muting yourself there when you're not talking, because we get a lot of feedback,
Andrew,
from
you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, if you have more questions, just you know, you can stick around and ask more. But go ahead, Cody.
I was just going to say, Israel Folau was the rugby player who was persecuted for, you know, fired and removed from his, you know, rugby team and all that because of his, basically he was just quoting, I can't remember the verse out of I think 1 Corinthians, but I also want to keep in mind that it's my understanding that he's a oneness Pentecostal, and we would consider that a non-Christian cult. So I wouldn't be quick to slap the label Christian on him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Now that was just my understanding. I can't, you know, it's just something to check up on. You know, I think we tend to, and I'm not saying you're doing this at all, you know, but I think in the culture we have a tendency to really give a pass on people in the headlines that say that they're Christians, you know.
Oh, well, we saw this some time ago. There was the kid who went to, I forget where, and he was killed supposedly for his faith, but he was a oneness Pentecostal. People were, you know, praising. Mark, I'm going to have to mute you. Okay, sorry about that, but we're getting a lot of feedback from you. But he, you know, people were just saying, oh, look, here's someone who went to the mission field and got killed for his faith. And he was, you know, they were upholding him as if he was a godly believer. And then you look and find out he's the one that's Pentecostal. We have the same thing with the pastor who went back to Iran where he was from and in prison there for years. And, you know, everyone's, you know, was, and I too was like, here's someone being imprisoned for his faith and this and that. And what you end up finding out is he's actually a oneness Pentecostal. Oh, so, you know, now let's be clear about something with this. just because someone's a oneness Pentecostal doesn't mean they're not a believer, okay? Because you could have someone who is a oneness Pentecostal, and that's all they know. They haven't been taught anything else, and they haven't done enough study to know anything different. So there's a difference between someone who's been deceived versus someone who's deceiving. Okay, if they know the truth of the Trinity, they understand the doctrinal arguments and still teach oneness Pentecostalism, that's a problem. But if that's all they know and they haven't been taught anything else, I would say they could be a believer and deceived. But I also think the Holy Spirit would bring them to a knowledge of the truth over time.
Well, there's another point that's worth looking at is whether they're Mormon or Roman Catholic or Jehovah's Witness or stuff, the idea of that they represent religious faith or religious freedom and the whole, everybody's being persecuted. And we, of course, don't approve of the cults, but the secular world doesn't understand the difference. They're just lumping everybody into one big pile and persecuting the crap out of everybody. And this is a problem that it's a real serious one. But we Christians are the ones who have to stand up.
Yeah, I agree with all that you guys said. Thanks for letting me just chime in.
All right, hey Matt. For the sake of the, we have our traditional Catholic friend here in YouTube arguing. Do you have a scheduled debate with Trent Horn?
No.
Yep. So there goes that. I mean, because it's the same guy that said you had a scheduled debate with some other Catholic. And I can't remember his name, but
Trent and I are supposed to talk about when I get down to Arizona, and then we're supposed to go down and do some stuff there, but we had to postpone our move, so because of financial issues. But we, you know, we're talking about picking a date later this year to move. So,
yeah. Anyway. So you know, someone's saying he wanted the status of the scheduled debate. Well, if there was a schedule, there'd be a date, and even Trent Horde would know that date.
Yes, it's just not happened yet.
So simple logic, you know, when you say it's scheduled, it means there's actually a date. I have a debate that may be coming up, and this is called a possible schedule, right? It's so September 25th. I just don't know if I could do it that day, but this is going to sound familiar to you, Matt. You did the same topic with Matt Dillahunty, and you actually, you know, you actually chose the topic. This is being chosen for me. Someone wants to debate me. Is secular humanism superior to Christianity? So I'm going to probably end up doing that debate. I just got to check on the date and see if it's going to work. But
I talked to Matt a couple of days ago, actually, on the phone. So,
oh yeah, we got
down there in Austin.
Yeah,
so he said, yeah, he'd like to see us or whatever.
Yeah, so you and I got to talk about seeing if we can get over. You know, maybe. We should talk to Matt Dillahunty and see if he'd be willing to do an early recording of his atheist experience. And you and I'd come into studio and we sit down and chat with him. That could be fun. You know, I don't know, because he usually records at like 8 o'clock.
I heard a noise. Let me go check. Yep. I'll be back.
You got it. I just added Andrew. Boy, this is like, you know, Aussie Fest or something here. We have two folks from Down Under, both in the same night. So, I, you know.
Yeah, I thought I'd come on in and see what was going on. I haven't been able to get in the last couple of times.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were getting in today because I've been watching you in and out and in and out and in and out, along with a couple others. And there was Maxwell was in and out, and Ed's been in and out, and I don't know if they had questions. So what question do you have for us?
We've had connection issues. All I can put it down to is we're trying to get this new connection in, which isn't even in, which is about 4 or 5 years behind schedule. So it's kind of outdated already, but they're still pushing it. But, yeah, I was just going to come on to say Israel Folau, he quoted, I think it's the 1st or 2nd Corinthians. It's the one where it talks about all the people that are going to hell. And he added at the end, unless they repent.
Mm.
Now, Alan Joyce is the head of Qantas, and Alan Joyce is gay, very openly gay. There were lots of rumors about what happened. There was his father told him things like his father told him to not remove the post or else he'd go to hell. These sorts of things, standing up for Christianity. Even his wife, who is a netballer, she's played for the Silver Ferns, the New Zealand team, many times over. Yeah, it's a sport, netball. Like basketball, but girls, and with a different net and all sorts of different positions. But, you know, they're coming out and they're distancing them. Not only that, Israel Folau also has played AFL and rugby league before coming to it, and both of those codes have got strict hate speech laws now too, and they have said they won't take him back either. So that's just to clear all that sort of thing up, and all he did was think.
Yeah, well, that,
and this is what happened.
You know, this is a good book to get, and Matt, you'll have a couple others, but 1984 is, you know, it talks about newspeak and where words don't have the same meanings as they do anymore. And it's, you know, they say whoever controls the past controls the future. And that's what we see going on.
Actually, that statement is brilliant. Whoever controls the present controls the past. Whoever controls the past controls the future. And it's really a brilliant statement, because if you control the present, then you can make the past say whatever you want. And then you can convince people what the future is going to be based on the past that you're doing.
Yeah. And I think another book that you often mention is Fahrenheit, I think it's 451, or it's the temperature in which...
Yeah, Fahrenheit 451.
451, that's it.
Which paper burns at.
Yes, right? And so that's another one, and there was another, I forget.
Brave New World.
Brave New World. You know, one that I'll recommend with caveat is Atlas Shrugged. It is a very thick book, but it is written by someone who is a libertarian. She, as far as the reality economically of what she saw, she came from Russia. She was a Russian Jew that came over to America, became an author, and she is very, very liberal when it comes to morality, but very conservative when it comes to personal work, you know, getting paid for what you do, not having people able to rob you of your own work. You know, the book itself, there's a lot of scenes in there I can't recommend, but as far as a political statement, it's very interesting. You know, another interesting thing that most kids don't realize, there's a book called Hunger Games that became a movie, and the movie doesn't show the politics of it, but when you read that book, it's actually a political book. And you know, it's interesting that they didn't want to make that get that into the movie part, but it really was a book, you know, bashing socialism in looking at how socialism works. And, you know, and it was for a younger generation. The problem is that it'll never be taught as being against socialism and where it leads. But it was clear if you understand it. As an adult, you read it, you can see where it's... what it's just saying.
Well, as an adult, I saw the movie, and I watched it with a bunch of friends, and my friend watched it and said, no, this is just too much for me. Just all the violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all the shooting and all the killing and all the rest of it. We didn't even make 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Of the movie.
It
was just like,
I read the book. So yeah, the
And what else was I going to say? Oh yeah, I was going to go right back to some things you were saying before as well. Just in the matters of porn, and I typed in that I used to be an addict, and well, I was, and to an extent, I still am. But I'm trying to get through that one. And I wanted to say it's very real and very scary for those who haven't gone through it. But having said that, I would say don't go through it, because it will destroy you.
Well, it does a lot of damage that a lot of people don't want to think about. It will destroy marriages, you know, because people start to get a wrong view of the marriage relationship. you know,
of
and
course.
It's, you know, it becomes a real problem. Yeah.
And that's what then that's what the secular psychologists are actually finding sort of now and recently. It actually destroys the reasoning function of the brain and rewires literally the brain so that your brain sees the images. And over time, your mind is dumbed.
Yeah, there's into a physiological change in the brain.
Yes.
It's just what happens, and it becomes wired for that. And
then you have to go back through the rewiring process of that rewiring process and rewire the brain again. And the brain can do that, which is truly amazing.
Yes.
But yeah.
Well, yep. and that's the thing that, you know, it's that, you know, people say, well, how do you rewire your brain? I you know, one brilliant thing I heard someone say, just read scripture, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. Okay. I like that idea.
Start opening your apologetic library. That's another one.
Say that again. I didn't hear it.
Start by opening your apologetics library if you have one. And if you haven't got one, get one. That would be my advice.
Apologetics live what?
No, apologetics library. Your books apologetic related. Like, but you and Andrew are going to have massive amounts of that because that's what you do. Whereas someone like me, for many years, my library consisted of Willing to Believe by R.C. Sproul until I got a collection of A.W. Tozer books, which I found last year, and I found those helpful.
Well, but listening to Apologetics Live would be good too.
Yes. Yes, and this helps me because I go to you and I go to there's another guy, M2 The Rock, does this stuff on Facebook as well. He's a former addict, not of porn, but of drugs and all that sort of stuff. He's very interesting. And, of course, all of the other apologetics channels, Burkett Malone and Dave, David Wood, those sorts of guys.
So... Good. All right, so we don't have anyone else in here, Matt. We're about time to start wrapping up. I don't know if there's anything that you you want to speak about or anything going on, any new articles. I know you were going to start working on slavery, was last I heard.
I started, but because of things that happened that you and I know about with CARM, I've not been able to open that back up again. I've been doing all kinds of other stuff. Right. And so, but I have finished a sci-fi novel, and I'm in the process of going through the edits. That was just, I needed a break from theology because there's so much pressure. And I wanted to write, I like sci-fi, so I wrote a sci-fi novel. So I'm working on that, but other than that, there's not a whole bunch going on except everything.
Interesting. All right, so we know for folks who are watching this live, it'll be too late probably by the time this comes out in podcast form. But this weekend, if you're in New Jersey, the Equip Jersey Conference, the Jersey Shore, just go to equipjersey.org, get the info there. It will be the speakers at Striving for Eternity. Also, we're going to do a simulcast with Ray Comfort doing a Q&A for a bit. One of the things we'll have to ask him is how he's feeling. Because Matt, I don't know if you know, but he has been in and out of the hospital. I think he visited his hospital 7 times. He was having kidney stones. They couldn't figure out what it was. And it actually was a kidney stone that implanted itself into the wall, the lining of, and so they couldn't just remove it. And they had to put a tube in. It was an all whole ordeal. And but he says he's doing better. He texted me tonight. He said he's doing better, so that's good. End of the month, you and I'll be headed down to Austin, mm-hmm. Texas. So you know, we'll be down there. I don't know, you know, I got you know, I had a very busy earlier part of the year. Let's see, I'm trying to see what I have. Have some local events. August 7th to the 11th, I'll be in New York City for a Repent and Witness Evangelism Boot Camp. So that's my favorite event. We go into New York City and you've been there, Matt. You've been some places. We like to go Union Square, Washington Square mm-hmm. Park, and just do a lot of evangelism. So that's good. And then in October, I'll be back out in California. I got to book those flights. Yikes. And hotel. Folks, if you want to help with either Striving Fraternity or CARM, you can go to our websites, strivingfraternity.org/donate. If you want to donate at Striving Fraternity, if you want to donate to CARM, just go to CARM.org and click the donate button, and you could donate there. Both ministries would be glad to have your support, but especially glad to have the support in prayer. Folks who may know, Matt and I are kind of transparent type of people. We don't pretend to be someone we're not just because there's a mic on. And so you hear some of the things that we've been going through. Matt's and his wife have been going through quite a bit. I will be visiting some doctors. I had an infection that we're not sure why. It's an infection usually you don't have until you're in your like 70s or 80s. So they're kind of concerned about it. So I'm going to be having.
It's not epididymitis.
It's which?
Hope it's not epididymitis.
He loves words. I have no idea. He probably makes them up half the time anyway.
That's a real word, epididymitis. And it's an inflammation of the epidural layer within the testes.
I don't even want to know why you know these things. Okay? And then you think it's funny?
I mean, it is funny.
Dude, you're like a third grader.
In a hospital too, you know. You pick up stuff and
okay. This tells us something about Matt Slick, folks. If you haven't figured out, Matt Slick this is his third grade humor, but they didn't understand these words in third grade, and so even his explanations they probably didn't know in third grade.
Dysmenorrhea. That's good. You don't want dysmenorrhea. That'd be worse for you.
And you see, he cracks himself up with this, no less.
Because only women can get that one. So.
It's the darker part of comedy. It's what higher intelligence.
What if I identify as a woman, Matt, huh?
You still can't get it. It's painful menstruation, dysmenorrhea.
If there is a word that is more complex than an easier way of saying things, Matt will know it. Wow. And he cracks himself up with this, folks. I mean, that's the funnier part.
Because I don't know where I picked these words up from all over. I just, you know, what's that? Well, it's not endometriosis. What? Dysmenorrhea. That's right. Okay.
All right. Now, if you got that out of your system.
I did. I enjoyed that. That was fun. Frown again.
Huh?
Go ahead and frown. Let's see if it's what letter it is of the Hebrew. Yeah. Okay, the C does kind of look like a Chinese thing, too. But anyway.
Oh, now you're going to say it has something to do with my wife, eh? I see how it is.
No. So. Look at the little thing, like a little character. But I think it's a Hebrew letter. It's going to be a Hebrew letter.
It's pie. See, that's it. It's pie.
It's like a pie. Yeah,
pie. It's Greek. Yeah. All right.
Oh, it would be Greek. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, my name is Greek. Andrew is a Greek name. I got named after my grandmother, Anna, or great-grandmother, Anna. And I guess Andrew seemed like the most Jewish word name, starting with A. I don't know.
Good.
Yeah. So anyway, there are some debates that we're trying to set up. On here for folks who want, if folks want to set up a formal debate with either Matt or I, you can contact me at strivingfraternity.org. There's a contact page. Just let us know and we'll set that up. But for some people who want to come in here and start debating, like the one guy a couple weeks ago, Matt, it usually is something where we want to agree to a debate first. And like in a case of saying, hey, come on in and let's discuss it, meaning, let's discuss whether we could actually have a debate. A guy like that guy that other time was just like a bull in a china shop.
But yeah, they certainly happen like that, don't they?
Yeah. Hey, I'll give one credit to the guy, though. I will do this. I'll give one credit to the guy before we sign off today, and that's this. You know, there's a thing that I do, Matt, with a lot of folks who you see online, and you know, they have such pride issues. And you could see it. And I've done this, I've probably done this hundreds of times. And that guy from several weeks ago is the only one that this didn't work on. But I you know, will say to a person, you know, that you seem to have a pride issue. But I'll let you prove it to yourself. I'm not going to read whatever you post. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to respond to it. But if you have to respond, that's called pride. If you now know I'm not going to read it and you respond, that's called pride, because you just have to get those words out. And the guy was emailing me back and forth, these long emails, and trying to say how wrong you were for not debating him, and how wrong I was for making him wait an hour and a half when I never set up a debate. And basically when he gave us the middle finger, and then he was cursing me in the emails. So, and saying he was a Christian, but either way, you know, the thing that ended up happening is I said to him, I told him the same thing. And you know what? I told him, I'm not going to read. If you respond to me, I won't read it. I won't be responding. If you feel compelled to respond to me, then you know you have a pride issue. And he actually didn't respond back.
Wow. Hoisted by his own petard.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of an interesting thing, because sometimes the pride of a person you'd think would keep them from, you know, responding back, because they don't want you to know they're prideful. But but yeah, he was the only one in hundreds that actually decided not to respond. But it is kind of funny that you say that to people and they still respond.
Like, that's right.
It's just, okay, sure, whatever. So I do want to encourage folks to check out this Apologetics Live is a podcast. If you're listening to it on podcast form, it's one of the growing number of podcasts on the Christian podcast community. And let me bring that list up. We talked about Five Solas. That's one of the podcasts as part of the Christian podcast community. We have Theology Gals, Apologetics Live, which is this one. So You Want to Be a Podcaster, which is a podcast for podcasters. I mentioned Five Sola Podcast. We have What Are You Even Doing Here, which is the Updikes. This one you'll be familiar with, Matt. One of the newer podcasts to join is The Way Radio with Chad Pridmore.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he's going to be podcasting again. He used to podcast, and he's back, and he's on the Christian podcast community. And the newest one is Everyday Ministry Podcast with James White. Not Dr. James White, the other James White. Well, there's probably a bunch of James Whites. And actually, I should correct that, because that's no longer the newest one. The newest one is called Prescribing Truth Podcast with Jamal Brandy. And for the folks who were wanting to talk about social justice, I would recommend you check out Jamal's podcast, Prescribing Truth Podcast. He does an excellent, excellent job with the issues of social justice. He is an African American, so he gets called all kinds of names like Uncle Tom and all this, but he does an outstanding job with social justice. So that's a podcast. That's the newest one that's going to be added on soon. And so check that out. Some affiliates we have is the Blue Stocking Baptist, to Baptist females, doing a show to ladies. And then Are You Just Watching? That's one that Matt Slick should be listening to. It's they do a once a month. They take a different Hollywood movie and just give a Christian review of that movie. So if you want to check out those podcasts or the growing number of podcasts, check out christianpodcastcommunity.org. If you want to think about joining that growing list, if you're a podcaster, go to christianpodcastcommunity.com and click on the link that says that you'd want to consider podcasting. So that's how you could get there. My podcast, I don't think I even mentioned it, Rap Report. So check that out. Maybe one day we'll get Matt on there. That would ruin the ratings.
Probably would ruin it.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Yeah. So, we appreciate those who came in, asked the questions. Folks, if you have questions, every Thursday night we're trying to do this. The reason we give you the website apologeticslive.org is because, well, As we said in the beginning of the show, we may be making changes to the format here as Google is forcing that to happen. And traditional Catholic says, I'd be happy to continue the baptism debate with Matt using the same rules and format we had before. There's plenty of scriptures I didn't bring up in our first debate. So, Matt, if you're open to that, maybe traditional Catholic can contact me. I have a great debate question. I'd love to debate, you know, traditional Catholic, and that is whether he's actually Catholic. I mean, it'd be kind of funny because if we think about it, Matt, the Catholic Church teaches that their tradition is and the church itself is an authority, correct?
Yep.
Yet he doesn't believe that the current Pope is a Catholic.
He's a sedevacantist, yeah.
But isn't the Pope the one that would be setting the rules? So how could he, as an individual who isn't allowed to have private interpretation, able to make the judgment that the church has already made?
He'd be going with Trent or some stuff before the 60s.
Yes, but it's still the same church that made the decision. Unless he's saying his church fell away and they're no longer the church.
Actually, that's a good point. How is it that the Roman Catholic Church went into apostasy according to a sedevacantist?
Yeah, and that would be a fun debate.
Yeah.
Maybe traditional Catholic, if you'd, you know, maybe we could set that one up with Matt, if you'd like to take that as a, that would be a, I would love to see that debate because I think he kind of loses right out of the gate because he has to argue for a church that he doesn't believe in now. So if you want to set that debate up, that would be fine. Contact me. You can go to strivingforeternity.org, go to the contact page. It's under contact us and, you would be able to get a hold of me. That'll get to me and I will email you back. So until next week, I don't know if we're going to, he wants to set up a debate for next week. I'll see. We'll see how our schedules work. But, until next week, just remember to strive to make today an eternal day for the glory of God.